Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Good morning, church. My name is David Lesner. I feel lucky to be here today on Palm Sunday. We're talking about powerless for Jesus, and I would say over the last 24 hours, me along with a lot of other preschool staff and people who ate these contaminated cake balls have been completely powerless in our illness. And so bear with me today as we seek to walk in the way of Jesus Christ down that peaceful parade that looks more like children waving palm branches than it does our common misconceptions of what power is. And that's one of the things that hasn't changed in 2,000 years of human existence since Jesus Christ. Our misunderstandings of what power is haven't really changed all that much. If you watch the NCAA Final Four, UConn is the best because they simply defeated Kentucky in that matter. I'm sorry, Heimbucks. Sorry about that. They're the best because they conquered somebody else. Barack Obama, you may not like Barack Obama, but he won a popularity contest over another person. People deemed him more suitable to lead in that election. I remember playing a very wholesome family entertainment game when I was a kid called Mortal Kombat, and you won based upon just totally annihilating the other person. And even more so, you got more points if you were able to like rip the other guy's spinal cord out or something like that. And so domination was the key to victory. That the more you could humiliate somebody, the more you could dominate somebody, the more you could stand over them and just lord over them, the more power you had. And this is incredibly similar in just about every realm of power. If we look at spousal abuse, it's about power. If we look at sports, it's about power. If we look at popularity in high school, it's about power. It's about how can I place myself as better than you or having more authority than you. And in the same way that Pontius Pilate rides into town in a parade that would make any president-elect jealous of their inauguration parade. And we're talking everybody has chariots with four horses. We're talking brandishing the finest of swords. We're talking the soldiers marching out in front of them goose step style with their heavy shields and heavy armor on. So that any Israelite might know where they really stand in the grand scheme of things. Now, Pontius Pilate isn't doing it because he loves these people. Pontius Pilate doesn't even know these people. In fact, he's the governor of the area, but he never goes there. In fact, he thinks it is the cesspool. If you were appointed to be the governor of Judea, it was kind of like being the ambassador to some major third world country. It was just someplace you didn't want to be in the Roman government position of authority. He didn't have a lot of power himself, and so he marched into town and proclaimed his power. And he did it in a way on the Passover celebration to where Israelites would know that their God was never going to save them again. You remember the Passover celebration? The Passover being when they slaughtered the lamb and they painted their doors when they were in Egypt so that the angel of death would pass over and that they knew that they were delivered by their God. And this leads into Pharaoh letting them go and then the Exodus to go into the land of milk and honey in the promised land. Everything about the Jewish identity is wrapped up in the Passover. This idea that they are God's chosen people, this idea that they have no power outside of God, and that the idea that they are God's chosen people and God will lift them out of the oppression that they constantly put themselves in and they constantly face from outside forces. Whether it was the Assyrians or the Babylonians, now the Romans, they're always kind of occupied. And largely they do this because they're making bad political deals or they're putting themselves in situations. Sometimes they're simply unlucky. And so Pontius Pilate wants to make sure, just like the bully does walking down the halls of the high school, that the Israelites will never, ever be saved by their God again. Yet it's weird, on the other side of town, here comes a great teacher. Here comes a rabbi, perhaps. Here comes a prophet, some people are calling him there. And he's asking his disciples, who do people say that I am? And some say John the Baptist, and some say Elijah, some say Isaiah, some say Moses. You know, they're not quite sure who this person is, but he's done things of unspeakable nature. I mean, he's brought people back to life. He's healed the lepers. He's been with the sick. He's actually put himself in the line of danger by eating with the Pharisees and confounding the lawyers so that they would second-guess their religious systems. And here this man comes in riding on a donkey, of all things, from the southern part of town, which sounds weird. But read these words from Zechariah 9:9-10. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." Now, this is a different mindset, isn't it? And there's something that we don't necessarily get. I mean, a king riding on a donkey doesn't seem as fierce as a war horse. It doesn't seem as fierce as riding him with soldiers. But there's an Eastern tradition that Jesus' followers and people in Jerusalem at the time would have known, is that when a neighboring king would come on a horse, that meant he was looking for war. That meant he was looking to do battle and he was looking to conquer the city. But if the king was on a peaceful mission, he would ride on a donkey. And that let the watchman and let the other king know that he was there and a message of peace and of goodwill. And so isn't it strange that we have the one who is coming to conquer evil and sin and death, who rides in on a donkey, who comes in delivering this message of peace? There's an awkwardness about that for us. There's an awkwardness about it because it doesn't fit with our schema of how we get things done. If I want to get something done, I usually yell at somebody. If I want to get something done, I hold the threat of firing over them. If I want to get something done, I hold guilt over them. I hold shame over them. I hold something over them so that they are motivated to go and do it. While I was sick yesterday, I watched the Steve Jobs movie with Ashton Kutcher. And the entire time, he's just throwing people out left and right simply because he can. And part of it's because they don't fit the mission and vision of Apple, and they're questioning his authority. And the other thing is that sometimes he just wants to send a message of, look who's in charge. And it's this different mindset. Paul talks about it, if you read the words from 2 Corinthians up on the screen. It says, "I ask that when I am present, I need not show boldness by daring to oppose those who think we are acting according to human standards. Indeed, we live as human beings, but we do not wage war according to human standards. For the weapons of our warfare are not merely human, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ." Now, I want you to hear those. I want you to leave those words on the screen for a little bit, if you will, Logan. That we're talking weapons here. We're talking about taking captive. I don't want you to think that when Jesus rides into town on a donkey that he's coming in on a sissy mission. That he's simply riding with this feel-good moment where kids wave palm branches in the air and we think it's cute and we snap pictures with our phones and that's what Palm Sunday is about. Palm Sunday is the beginning of a crucial week in our lives to which we have to give up our power. We have to recognize, as the Israelites did, that we don't have power outside of God. And in fact, any parade that's coming from the north of town that states otherwise, we know is temporary. That we know the Roman Empire fell. We know the Assyrian Empire fell. We know the Babylonian Empire fell. We know the only thing that is eternal is the love of God and the presence of God. And so Palm Sunday is this turning point for us in which we recognize that this parade of peace might actually be what works, might actually get things done in the world, might actually shape the world like the kingdom of God that Jesus came to bring than any other knowledge of what power looks like in our world. We've been trying these parades for decades and centuries and millennia. We have been trying to stamp out evil with violence. We've been trying to stamp out hatred with more hatred. We've been trying to stamp out power with more power for millennia. And yet we still sit in a world in which there are wars every day. Because if you dominate power with power, all you get is more hatred, more misuse of power, more misconceptions of what power is. And so let's take a look a little bit at this man this king who rides in on a peaceful mission. He rides in and people are excited about what he's done. They've heard the legends, the tales of him bringing people back to life. They've heard of him getting touched by a woman and the power leaving out of him. They've heard his teachings from the Sermon on the Mount that say, love your enemies. They've heard him say, turn the other cheek. They've heard him say, give of yourself. And in fact, this parade over here is a parade that ultimately is leading to the same cross as the parade of power from a worldly standpoint. But instead of trying to destroy or take captive or dominate, this parade is coming to give himself up for me and for you, for all the Israelites and for the world. Now, he tells us to turn the other cheek, so that we don't sink to the level of violence that our oppressors do. We're not just supposed to roll over and take abuse. We're not meant to be suffering servants. We're simply not supposed to understand that violence beats violence. We're not supposed to understand that better conquers better, or popular conquers popular. We're supposed to understand by turning the other cheek and loving our enemies that there is a force so great in the world that subjects every thought to the mind of Christ out of God's love, that isn't that what we have faith in to begin with? We have faith in John 3:16, 3:17, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, not to condemn the world, but to bring it to salvation. That there's an element of this peaceful parade here that works. That giving of ourselves and giving up of power brings salvation to all of us. And the people who are waving palm branches, the people who are kind of moving from this side over to the other side, are falling in line with this. They're shouting Hosanna. They recognize Hosanna in the highest. Glory be to our God in heaven. That they recognize that, you know, what the psalm says, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And that maker of heaven and earth is one who spoke life into existence and breathed life. From the very beginning, God is a giving God. God is a self-emptying God. This idea of power that we have, of dominating others and of controlling others, doesn't come from God. This idea of power that we have, and that I need to be the center point of all the attention in the world, doesn't come from God. This prophet, the Messiah, who's walking down from the southern point of the city and walking toward the cross, does so with the understanding that he is giving life. That he is not a victim, but he is choosing to empower others. Now, what's interesting about this is that people start to jive with this message. They start to receive the life from Jesus. Maybe you're at this point. Maybe you've received the life from Jesus. And you know what, as Jesus dies on the cross and as he's resurrected and as he appears to others, and we'll get forward into Holy Week with all of this, people start to take this message to heart, and they start to go and they start to take care of the widows and orphans and all the people who have no power in society whatsoever. And all those widows and orphans all of a sudden start getting raised up a little bit, and then they start giving to other people, and they start looking after the people that no one else cares about. And the people that no one else cares about start looking for the other people that are even lesser than they are in the social stratification of things. And all of a sudden we start to have this movement to where people actually have life. They're not simply just alive. They're not looking over their shoulder in fear of where their next meal is going to come from. They're not looking over their shoulder in fear of the next invading army that's going to come from. They have assurance eternally and here and now that their salvation comes from the Lord. And they have chosen the way, the truth, and the life of a parade of a man riding on a donkey who humbles himself and subjects himself to the Word of God, because he is the Son of God, come to set us free from whatever misconceptions we have in this parade. It's ridiculous that we still hold to these ideas of power. It's just utterly ridiculous that we still believe that what Machiavelli said, that fear is the best way to keep people in line. What I understand about God is that God does not give the law, God does not send Jesus, God does not send the Holy Spirit so that we may be kept in line. What I understand about God is that God is not fear-based. That God is not a God who simply wants us to cross the T's and dot the I's and be well-behaved in this life. What I understand about God is that God is a God who willingly will march to the cross on a peaceful mission so that we may have life. What I understand about God and God's followers is that we are people who march forward in love and dignity and grace to give life to those around us, to empower the people around us who have no power, to give of ourselves and be self-emptying, to, as Philippians 2 calls it, the mind of Christ that humbled himself from a throne to humanity so that he might live amongst us and show us the way, the truth, and the life. That's what I understand about God in this Palm Sunday moment. That there is not a selfish bone in his body. There is not a prideful bone in Jesus' body. But he is marching to the cross for us so that we may see what love looks like. So that we may understand what it means to be self-emptying and powerless for Jesus. And I invite us to go on a journey this Holy Week, starting at Palm Sunday. This is almost a make or break moment, to be honest with you. Palm Sunday is this decision in which we're going to ride this train that hasn't worked for thousands of years toward the kingdom of God, or we're going to ride this donkey in which we go to the world in a peaceful mission of love and dignity and grace, empowering the world to know the salvation brought through Jesus Christ. Someone asked me this week, if we talk about salvation so much, how come we never talk about hell? How come we never talked about Satan? And what do we talk about? What are we saved from? And my argument is certainly eternal. My argument certainly goes along the way of we are saved from God's wrath, I guess. But what is God so angry about? I don't read in the Bible that God is a very angry God. I don't read in the Bible that Jesus is angry all that often. What I read about God being angry about is these misconceptions of power. I read about Sodom and Gomorrah, where God is completely enraged that a mob is going to assault two guests. I read the same story in Judges, where a mob is going to assault two guests to show that they have power over them. I read about God's fury over the Babylonians as well as the Israelites when they go and subjugate other people and make them slaves. I read about God's fury when we are charging interest rates that are condemning or damning of other people. I read about God's fury in this parade over here. So Palm Sunday, marching toward crucifixion, marching toward Easter, what are we saved from? And I believe we're saved from that parade. I believe we are saved from those misconceptions of what power is, that we have to be violent, that we have to be in charge, that we have to be degrading of other people. I believe that we're saved from that parade and then we are brought to this one. And then we can understand the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus Christ. And that it is not for the faint of heart. That it takes more strength, more power, more love, more care, and more grace to come forward on a donkey in a peaceful mission of love and empowerment than it ever does to brandish a sword and cut off anybody who would oppose you. And so I want to give us an opportunity this Palm Sunday. You receive little cards as you walked in. I don't know who's filled them out yet or not. To understand this turning point of power, we talk about repentance in terms of salvation, and that salvation is a deliverance from evil, that salvation is deliverance from the powers that be of this world, that salvation is deliverance from this parade over here. And what salvation entails is repentance, and repentance is a 360. Or repentance is a 180. It is a change of direction. It is the understanding that I am forgiven, that God has come and died for me and left me hope and goodwill. And then my repentance is a 180 to say, I want to be completely on this side and not on this side. Now, if you're like me, this is a really hard move because I'm usually caught up in my health or my joy or my satisfaction. I'm caught up in the wonderment of my family. I'm caught up in what is best for me, my time, my effort, my energy, what's best for me. That's a really hard thing for me to let go of often. And so on my card, it says, what's holding you back? And I put pride. And I invite you to take some time in prayer. And that card that says, what's holding you back from making the shift? What's holding you back from changing from this parade today? And I want you to write that down. And I invite you to come. We have kind of a makeshift altar here. as you march to the cross, to put yourself on that donkey and in that crowd with Hosanna branches waving and submit yourself captive to obey Christ. And so whatever's holding you back, I want you to come lay at the altar of Jesus Christ. Let it be crucified. Let it go forward. And you'll see what we do with these on Monday, Thursday as well. And so take some time in prayer right now. There should be pens in the attendance pad. You can sign in at the same time if you want. Take some time in prayer right then. Listen to the voice of how majestic our God is. And make a choice today to repent and come forward in the message of peace to the cross in which Jesus gave himself up for us. Let's pray as we go into this. Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask that your heart would match our hearts, that our mind would match your mind, that we could take on the mind of Christ so that we could see how majestic you are, see that above all, you are the ruler of nations, that you are the ruler of our lives, and that, God, we should listen to you, that we can make this effort to go forward in a way that might be difficult and maybe struggle with the way the world looks right now, but we know that if we continue in that way, you have promised the world will not look like that forever, and that it will look like a Hosanna palm branch parade. And so let us give up whatever is holding us back. Let us nail it to the cross. Let us give it to you so that we may be your servants and none other. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.